give the Lord praise in this house. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Give him glory. Give him honor. He's a faithful God. He's a mighty deliverer. He will not. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And if you'll make up your mind, I will not be denied, he'll show up in your life every time. I said he'll show up in your life every time. If you believe that, shout amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. My, thank God, thank God, thank God. It's an honor to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's a privilege to preach again in Truth Camp 2009. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse number 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse number 2, we're going to begin to read. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse number 2. My, how wonderful this camp has been thus far. God is moving in an awesome fashion. Speak it to our hearts, touching our lives with his presence. I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. God's got a work he wants to do in your life. You'll open up the door of your spirit and let him have his way. I said he's got a plan for your life, a design for your life. Come on, somebody. I said he's got a design for your life. There's a young man this coming Sunday night, 14 years old, will be preaching his first message at our church, Crossroad Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost for the first time at Truth Retreat this past spring and called to preach. God dealt with him, called him to preach, and he's going to preach his first message this coming Sunday night. I'm telling you, I'm excited about what God is doing in his life, and I'm excited about what he's doing in your life. I want you to read, follow along with me, the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse number 2. I sleep, but my heart wakes. It is the voice of my beloved who knocks, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How can I put it on? She said. I washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you right now for the reading of divine scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty power of your Holy Ghost that we are able to sense in this place right now. Oh, mighty God, I pray for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I pray for the ability of the Spirit to have insight, divine revelation. Holy Ghost, reach way down in the ebbs of my human spirit and draw up from that well years of faithful study and prayer and revelation, and make it, Lord, pertinent to this subject today. Holy Ghost, let your people, these young people, hear your word. Let it, Lord, saturate their spirits today. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you would transform our lives and advance your kingdom through your church against the powers of darkness in this last hour. In Jesus' name I declare it. Everybody shout hallelujah. Or shout amen. Man, it's good to be here. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to know today that the church of the living God, and that's you if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. The church of the living God is the last bastion of hope that exists on this earth today. I said the church in America is the last bastion of hope that's in this nation today. I don't say that as in quality, but I say it as in this nation. Every place that people have been looking and turning to for help are coming back empty. I said they're coming back empty. And in this last hour, I believe we're going to see people. I believe there are going to be people begin to look for a church. They're going to begin to look for that hope that's in that Christian. They're going to begin to look for that hope that's in that born again, Holy Ghost filled church that still preaches the word of God, that has the power of God resident in that place. We're the last bastion of hope. We must not give up. We must not surrender. We must not let down. We must not sit down or shut up. We must declare it as never before. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the hope for all mankind. He's the only hope. Somebody shout amen. I only serve one King, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Glory. Oh, come on, somebody. I said only serve one King. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Glory, not Michael Jackson. I tend to differ with that lady Democrat congresswoman who spoke at his funeral. I pray for his soul. I pray he found things right with God. I said I pray that he found things right with God, made it right with God. But she said yes. She said I call him a king, and she said it again for emphasis. She said you heard me said he was a king, but I got news for you. There's never been any king beside King Jesus. Somebody shout amen. He's the one that I'm following today. He's the king today. He's the king of our hope. And the church is the last bastion of hope. Let's lift up the bloodstained banner. Let's declare there's help in Christ. Let's declare there's hope in the Lord. Let's declare there's healing for your wounded heart. Let's declare there's healing for your bruised soul. Come on, somebody. There's healing for your home and your marriage. There's healing for you today. There's deliverance for your spirit. Let's declare it in this hour. Church of the living God, let's not surrender. Let's stand firm in this hour. We are the last bastion of hope. I said we're the only hope. I said we're the only hope this nation has. Let's declare it as never before. Our hope is declared in this story by Jesus given in Mark chapter 13. If you want to turn there with me, Mark chapter 13, and I would urge you to do so. Verse number 34. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch, watch. The hope that we have today, that we must declare, is the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said the rapture of the church is the hope we must declare in this generation. Somebody shout amen. I said the hope we must declare is the rapture of Jesus Christ. I want to preach this subject to you, simply entitled, Wake Up! Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Wake up! Jesus is coming. Look over at your neighbor and take them by the shoulder. Don't hurt them or nothing, but take them by the shoulder and shake them a little bit and say, Wake up! Jesus is coming! Oh, what a message! The rapture of the church! We could be here now and be gone in the next second. I said we could be here right now and be gone within the next second, raptured into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must wake up. Wake up because Jesus is coming. In the book of Mark, Jesus is telling us about his coming. He said that the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. The master's been gone to the presence of the right hand of his Father for 2,000 plus years. But Jesus declares in this parable, he said that the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. He told them to watch, for he would return. I said emphatically spoken, he told them to watch. Everybody say watch. The master representing Jesus said watch, because he would return. Why was he so adamant about them watching for his return? You see, because it was because they did not know when he would return. And he knew they would have the tendency in the flesh to get lazy in the work of the kingdom. And if not careful, go to sleep. So we must watch in order to keep yourself from growing lazy in serving God and working for the kingdom. You must watch. And Jesus declares in another place, watch and pray. Everybody say, watch and pray. It will keep you awake so that you do not miss the rapture. What a picture of what is taking place in this generation, though. Many have totally forgotten about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you not agree? And they have quit doing anything for God and are spiritually sound asleep. Many in the church are living like Jesus is not going to come for another 2,000 years. Their lifestyle, come on, shows forth their actual belief system. Oh, come on, they have quit believing in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ by the way they are living, by the way their churches are being conducted and their pastors are pastoring them. Just recently on a weekend vacation, my wife and I were in a northern part of Arkansas, and my family, on a Sunday night, we came through one of the large cities there in the northern part of Arkansas. It was church time. And so my daughter Kara got on the cell phone and punched in, I don't know what she punched in, but she brought the names of a lot of Pentecostal churches. And so we said, well, let's go to this one because it's just a mile from us. We drove into the parking lot at 6:20. Come on, drove in the parking lot, no cars there. The sign said we have church at 6 o'clock, but there was no cars there. I said, well, let's see if we can find another one. That was alarming enough. And so we drove to a main line denominational church, a huge church. And we drove into that huge parking lot somewhere around 6:30. There was not a soul there, no one there. And the church sign said, we start church at 6 o'clock. I said, punch in another church. We punched in another church. Went to that church parking lot. Not a soul there at 6:35. I said, punch in another church. They punched in another mainline denominational church. And we drove into that parking lot. Not a soul there. About 6:40. I said, my God in heaven, what's happening? And I just, you know, I looked at my wife and my children. I said, oh, my God in heaven, I hope the rapture hadn't took place. Come on, somebody. Nobody having church on Sunday night. And we couldn't find a place to go in my heart. Brother Lucas was longing to get into an old-fashioned Pentecostal service. Come on, somebody, hear the word, get in the altar on my Sunday night off from the pulpit. Oh, nobody there, not a soul, no one there. And finally, we drove into the parking lot of another Pentecostal church. There were some cars there. It was 7:05. We ran in, rushed in, and a young lady walked out of the sanctuary. And my daughter said to her, we're on vacation, we're looking for a place to go to church. She looked at her watch and she said, oh, well, we start at 6 o'clock. And it was 7:05, and they were getting ready to dismiss. Come on, somebody. So we went to about four or five churches. Four of them wasn't having church on Sunday night. Come on, somebody. One of them, come on. The girl looked at her watch, which gave me the tone of the whole church, that we started 6 and we're out at 7. Y'all too quiet up in here. Come on, somebody. I said, you're too quiet up in here. Oh, yes, gone to sleep. Nobody having church. I looked at my wife. I said, you know, I'm glad I'm not a sinner or a backslider that's wanting to come back to Jesus looking for an old-fashioned Pentecostal church on Sunday night. Come on, somebody. The church is asleep. We need to wake up. Wake up. We're the last bastion of hope. The last thing we want to do is close our doors on a Sunday night. We need to declare Jesus is Lord and he's coming soon. Wake up, Jesus is coming. Somebody, hey, I said, wake up, Jesus is coming. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Paul warned us of this great danger when he wrote in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. He said, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believe." Hallelujah. Again, he warns us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And again, he warns us of Jesus' coming in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then in chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober-minded." Come on, somebody shout amen. Paul knew all too well that it would be easy for us to go to sleep when we should be looking for his return. We have a graphic picture of this in our text in the Song of Solomon. To understand the Song of Solomon, you must understand that it is a love story between Christ and his bride. Solomon is a type of Christ, and the Shulamite maiden in the story is a type of the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. As the story unfolds, we have Solomon coming to his summer house. One day he was walking in the fields looking after his sheep when he comes upon a very beautiful Shulamite maiden. They meet and fall in love, and Solomon says to her that he must go away, but he will come back for her one day. What a picture, young people, of what has happened to us. One day Jesus found us wandering in sin when we met him. I don't know about you, but I fell in love with him. And he has said to us that he has gone away to prepare a place for us, but would one day return. He said, "I'm coming back. I'm leaving now, but I'm coming back." He's going to return and take us unto himself. Oh, what a joyous occasion. Words cannot define how joyous it's going to be when Jesus steps out on the clouds of glory and the trump of God sounds and we're transported out of this place into the arms of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings. Give him praise in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Wake up, Jesus. Shandaramakasai is coming. We should be looking forward to that day with great anticipation. If you're not, that's a good sign. You need to get on down to this altar this morning and don't wait and pray until there's a hunger, a desire in your heart to see Jesus in the clouds of glory. It is in our text, though, that we find that when Solomon came back to get his bride, that instead of being ready and watching for his return, he found her sleeping. I'm afraid that the same thing is going to be true when Jesus comes back again. That's why I preach so hard to my church back at home about the rapture of the church, that instead of finding people ready and watching for his return, I'm afraid Jesus is going to find a great significant number of his people in the church asleep, or those who used to be his people asleep in the pew. But it will not be because that Jesus did not warn us that he was coming. Solomon did everything he could to cause her to be ready when he came. Jesus has done everything he can to prepare us for his coming as well. Oh, glory to God. I believe she knew. Listen, he warned her of his coming in advance. And she knew he was coming. He told her he was coming. He warned her of his coming in advance. He told her plainly that he would come back again. Hallelujah. I don't care what the doubters say. I don't care what the mockers or the scoffers say and the empty-headed religious professors say. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. I still believe this old black back book from Genesis to Revelation. There is a crimson tide that flows from Genesis to Revelation. It is the blood, come on, of the Son of God. Somebody shout amen. He poured out his blood, suffered and died on the cross, rose again. And when he left this earth, he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for you. I'll not leave you alone and destitute. I'm coming back for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Somebody shout, he's got a place for me. He said it. I'm coming back. Oh, yes, I'm coming back. We too have been warned. We've been warned, young people, teenagers. We've been warned. Most of us have grown up in church. And if you've not, I would dare say you've already been warned. We too have been warned over and over about Jesus' coming. As a matter of fact, one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament tell us of Jesus' coming. Hallelujah. I said one out of every 10 verses in your New Testament says Jesus is coming for his church. He said in John 14 verse 1 and 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, hallelujah, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Come on, somebody. Don't be found lacking, the evangelist said last night. Don't be found lacking, church. Don't be found lacking, young people, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven to rapture us, to be with him. Oh, glory to God. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus said, be ye therefore also ready. He's warning us. He's telling us, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So it behooves us today, teenagers, to take heed and be ready, because there will be no time to get ready when the trumpet sounds. I said there'll be no time to get ready when Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds in the heavens above us and Christ steps out and says, come up hither. There'll be no time to get ready. There'll be no time to pray through at an altar, repent over some secret sin. There'll be no time to repent because you haven't been faithful to Christ and you haven't done what you're supposed to do in serving him. There'll be no time to repent and ask somebody to forgive you that you've wronged. You must walk with him second by second, hour by hour, with a heart that is in love with him and a heart that's repentant before him. That's why he said, be you therefore ready. Somebody shout ready. Hallelujah. Paul said that Jesus is coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The word moment here in the original writing of this scripture is the word atomos. We get our word atom from it. Paul is saying that Jesus is coming in an atom of time. In other words, there'll be no time to pray, no time to repent, no time to make anything right. We must walk with him now. We must seek his face now. We must walk with him, and I repeat again, second by second, hand in hand with the master. Somebody shout amen. Loving him and adoring him and walking with him and communing with him. He's my love. Come on, somebody. I love him and he loves me. Giving praise in this house. He knocked, the Song of Solomon says, he knocked and tried to get her awake. I sleep, but my heart waketh. She said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. Notice how he knocked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. He knocked with his voice upon her heart. He spoke to her heart. I said he spoke to her heart. I want to tell you that God has been speaking to many people's heart around the world in this last hour before his return. He is speaking, first of all, to sinners' hearts. Everywhere he's speaking to sinners' hearts. Sinners' hearts who God is speaking to, sensing that something is different about this hour that we're living in. That things cannot go on like they are forever. What is it? That's Christ by his Spirit knocking at their heart. One article tells about Muslims all over the Middle East who are having dreams and visions. And in those dreams and visions, Jesus is speaking to their hearts and telling them that he is the Messiah. And they need to turn to him. Get ready for his coming. Come on, somebody. The Holy Ghost says come. The bride says come. Let him that is athirst for the things of God come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Jesus is coming. He's speaking to churches. In Revelation chapter 3, we read of the Laodicean church, which is believed by most Bible scholars to be the last days church. Notice where Jesus is standing. He's standing at the door in chapter 3 of Revelation and knocking. He is on the outside. I believe I found some of those churches Sunday night a week ago. I believe I found some of those churches where Christ is on the outside knocking and trying to get on the inside of the church. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Notice how he knocks. Said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear what? Somebody shout his voice. And open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here he is again, knocking with his voice, trying to get the church to wake up. Wake up and let him in. Come on, somebody. Wake up and let him in. He's speaking, Christ is speaking to the church to get up and let him come in. He desires sweet, anointed fellowship with you and with us and with the church. We need to wake up and let Jesus in. Come on, somebody. He's speaking to the saints. He's speaking to the saints' hearts. Notice the words. If any man, it is an individual thing. If any man, you must be awake for yourself. You can't depend on anyone else to stay awake for you. Come on. God is speaking to some of you right now, and he's saying to you, you've gotten lazy in the work of the kingdom. You've gone to sleep spiritually, and you're not what I want you to be, but you better wake up. I'm about to come. Come on, somebody. You better wake up. Christ said, I'm about to come. He's knocking with his voice this morning. Hallelujah. He's speaking to your heart. If you don't wake up and let Jesus into your heart, you're going to be left behind. I said you're going to be left behind to face the horrible wrath of God in the 7 years of tribulation, in particular, the last 3.5 years of tribulation. If you're left behind when Jesus comes, you have to face the hand of God's judgment and wrath upon a wicked world that has called for God's wrath and judgment to come upon them. Do you hear what I'm saying? The tribulation will be a horrible time. The man of sin will come. The Antichrist step on the scene. That's a reason the world stage is being set like it is today. That's a reason the economy, not only of our nation, but the economy of the world is in such a terrible condition. And nobody has the answer. Not Barack Obama. Come on, somebody. Not anybody else in this nation. Not anybody else in the world has the answer for the reason our economy is spinning out of control, and thousands, 600 plus thousand people every month are losing their jobs. In California, the unemployment rate is already 11%. Come on, somebody. 30-something states out of 50 states are about to go belly up because they don't have the money. 12 of those states are already on the verge of shutting down their state governments because they don't have the money to do the things that they normally do in their state. Come on, somebody. The world is spinning out of control. The world and its economy. Iran recently. Iran threatening nuclear war. North Korea on the 4th of July. It's like North Korea just taunting America. On our Independence Day, fires missiles toward the direction of Hawaii. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you right now. And we have a president who did not even honor the National Day of Prayer. Come on, somebody. If this nation ever needed to pray, it's right now. Our only defense is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Our only hope is the Holy Ghost. Our only help is Christ. Wake up, America. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Don't be left behind when he comes. It's going to be a horrible time. The Bible tells us in Revelation that right now there are beasts who are up underneath the earth, there by God's order, waiting for that last 3.5 years of a 7 year of tribulation. That during that last 3.5 years, they will come forth up out of the earth. The Bible describes them as having a tail of a stinging scorpion, the face of a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion, a body like a horse. They will go through this earth and sting men, women, boys and girls who have the mark of the beast or the Antichrist upon them. And when he stings them, their whole body will hurt with the hurt of a sting of a stinging scorpion for 6 months. They'll cry out to God and ask God to let them die, but they can't die. Come on, somebody. Men during that last 3.5 years, men and women, boys and girls, the sun will become so hot. Environmentalists, come on, are going to get a rude awakening. For in that last 3.5 years, the sun above us will get so scorching hot, there'll be no place for people to find a cool place. Air conditions won't work because the electric grids across the nation won't work because the pool of electric energy on it trying to cool houses. And men will curse God because of the heat and the scorching of their bodies. Revelation tells us that men will run, people will run to get a drink of water. They'll want to run and find water to quench their parched tongue. But when they turn the water faucet on, nothing but blood, the smell and the stench of human blood will come out of their water faucet. Every pond, every lake, come on, will turn to blood. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they'll curse God for it. We better wake up, young people. I don't want to miss the rapture of the church. I want to go when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. For when they're cursing God here on this earth, we will be blessing the Lamb of God around the Last Supper, rather the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of glory, who's worthy of strength and honor and power and glory. He's King. Glory. Give him praise, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better wake. Somebody shout, wake up. Jesus is coming. Let him in. Don't be left behind. Notice what kind of bride Jesus was coming for. Some say, Brother Tom, what is the qualifications of being a part of the bride? Let me give it to you in a nutshell from the Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. He said, open to me, my sister. Sister here means kinship. Somebody shout, kinship. Jesus is only coming back for those that are kin to him. Hallelujah. How do we become his kin? Only one way, by being born again. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 3, you must be born again. As a sinner, you belong to the devil, and the works of your father you do. The works of the father, possibly you did when he was your father. But to get out of his family and into the family of God, it takes a miracle. Come on, somebody. I said it takes a miracle. The miracle called the new birth. Somebody shout, born again. Come on, somebody shout, born again. When we are born again, we renounced our old family ties to the devil and his crowd. And we became a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. To be born again is to become a part of a new family. And to be given a new nature. It's God's nature. Christ lives in you. I said Christ lives in you. If you're born again, place your hand on yourself and say, Christ, come on, say it. Christ lives in me. Giving praise, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people across this nation claiming to be born again, but they're still living the same way they always did. They weren't really born again. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? I said there's people all across this nation claiming to be born again, but they're not changed. They're still doing what they always done. They weren't really born again. We got to make sure that we're truly born again, because if we're not, then we're not a part of the family of God and we're not ready for Jesus to come. Oh, come on, somebody. Call on him. Christ, forgive me. Lord, wash me with your blood. He said when he comes back, he, in the story of the Song of Solomon, notice he said, my love, he's coming back for a bride that loves him supremely. Somebody shout, I love him. Oh, come on, shout, I love him. He's not coming back for someone who's in love with him part of the time. In other words, he's not coming back after a half-hearted lover, but one that is head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I was reading recently in the Old Testament, and I read something that alarmed me. It said, the spirit of whoredoms has come against my people. The spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of harlotry. It said, there is a spirit loose in this nation that's come against the church. And I witnessed it Sunday night a week ago when church house doors were shut. It's because there is a spirit of harlotry that is alluring and drawing God's people away from the side of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody shout, help me, Lord. Come on, shout, help me, Lord. Glory to God. Oh yes, oh yes. The Bible tells us repeatedly that we're to love the Lord our God with all, come on, our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Our love for God should supersede any other love. Does yours do that this morning? Do you love him more than your family? Do you love him more than your friends? Do you love him more than your job? Do you love him more than your hobbies? Do you love him more than your money? Do you love him more than your possessions? If not, you're not ready for him to come, and you need to get ready. You need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Secondly, our love for him must be as strong as death. Do you love him enough to die for him? The Song of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 6 says, for love is strong as death. Love is strong as death. Or in other words, if we love him like we're supposed to, we'll be willing to stand for him no matter what. In this liberal nation that's getting more liberal by the day, liberalism is on the march in this nation. By the day, recently in a county in Oklahoma, not too far from Sebastian County, Arkansas, a county in Oklahoma, they were ordered to take down the monument of the Ten Commandments in their county seat in front of their county courthouse. Come on, somebody. Wake up, church. Liberalism is on the march in this last hour, and we need a bunch of teenagers that are madly in love with Jesus Christ that says, I don't care what you say. I don't care what kind of laws you pass. If they're laws to push me to live for this world, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'll not turn back. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll stand for him. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. A bunch of Iranian youth marched in the streets of Iran. There may come a time when a bunch of teenagers who've grown up, who've been in truth camp, come on somebody, and have been touched by the glory of God, may have to peacefully stand in the streets of a county seat, around a block at a county courthouse. We may have to stand and lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ and bow our heads and pray to the God of heavens like Daniel of old and say, we will not stop praying. Our God is greater. Our God is mighty. Our God is able. He's Lord of glory. We will not bow. Somebody shout amen. We must love him as strong as death. In 1 year, several years ago, around the world, over 166,000 people died because they loved Jesus. Do we love him that much? This is quite a test for our faith and our love, but nonetheless, we cannot water down The implication here. In this age of easy believism, God still demands that we love Him supremely. The reason I'm here today, after being saved 20-something years ago, the reason I'm here today is because I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I let go of the hand of the world, and I put my hand in the hand of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Thirdly, He sent my dove. The dove throughout scriptures is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is coming back for a Holy Ghost-filled church. Y'all didn't hear me. I said He's coming back for a Holy Ghost-filled church. We must remember that your church began as a Pentecostal church, Holy Ghost-filled church. He's not going to come back for anything less than what He left. Oh, it's too quiet. I said He's not coming back for anything less than what He left. The Pentecostal church. The command of God is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus told the disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they were filled. Somebody shout, filled. Say it, filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled and spoke with tongues. In Acts chapter 4, they were refilled and spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, Samaria received Christ and were later filled with the Holy Ghost when Peter and John came down and prayed for them. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, the Ephesians were filled with the Holy Ghost. It shows us that God wants to fill us, fill all of us, no matter where we are from or who we are, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody shout amen. Why? Because Jesus is coming back for a Holy Ghost filled church. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go on the rapture? Good question. I can't say definitely today that the scripture teaches that you must have the Holy Ghost to go on the rapture. But two things we must be careful of. First, if we love God like we're supposed to love Him, then we should desire to be filled with His presence, which comes through the filling of the Holy Ghost. Secondly, because the Holy Ghost is a gift from God that He gives to them that obeys Him, then the thing that keeps you from receiving the Holy Ghost could, and I emphasize could, keep you out of the rapture. He's coming back after His dove. Somebody shout amen. Hey, I said He's coming back after His dove. Give Him praise in this house. Hallelujah. He said, my undefiled. He's coming back after an undefiled people. He's coming back for a pure church. Come on. The word undefiled means complete, perfect, plain, undefiled, upright. He's coming back for a complete, perfect, plain, undefiled, upright church. You cannot defile yourself with the things of this world and be ready when He comes. Psalms 119:1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Hallelujah. Most today know little about walking in the way of the Lord, for they're too busy walking in the ways of the world. But the people who are ready for the Lord to come do not love the world and do not care what its fads and fashions are. They're going to live godly in Christ Jesus and keep themselves unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus is coming back for an awake, born again, loving, spirit-filled, undefiled church. The question we must ask ourselves is, do we meet the requirements? If not, we must get ready for Him to come now, today. She finally got aroused, that Shulamite girl, enough to realize what was happening. And she rose up to let Him in. But when she opened the door, it was too late. He was gone. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes. Many will be sleeping, and by the time they finally wake up and realize what's happening, it'll be too late. Jesus will be gone because she was not ready. She was left behind. What an awful thought to be left behind. She sought Him but could not find Him. She called Him but He gave her no answer. The same will happen when Jesus comes. They will search and call, but it will be too late for many people. The watch watchmen found her and in the streets they smote her, took away her veil. You will be sorely mistreated during the tribulation period. If you've been in church but you've denied Christ access, your veil will be pulled from you. You'll be abused and misused. Come on, you will wish a thousand times that you would have been awake and ready for Jesus to come. Jesus is doing his best to wake you up in this camp meeting. Come on, you don't have to be left behind. Come on, somebody, you can be ready when Jesus comes. Saved here, sanctified here, Holy Ghost filled here. Get filled up. We're getting ready to go up higher than we've ever been in the presence of the Lord of glory. I'm ready for him to come. Give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Sister John, come to the piano. Rambo sapatea. Mambre kosika talamahaya. Endombre sipakande. Barumbi sikapatea. Lift your hands with me. Come on at 15 after 10. Sando rabe katalamahaya. Rendo brokosate. Mambrico sotomaha. Endo. Lapineo. Satoromokose. Runde bekase. Made ilopate runda bakasa. Heno kopasea. For thus saith the Lord God Almighty, I am the Lord of glory, and I change not. Yea, saith the Lord, I have called thee many times, and many of you have not responded, saith the Lord of hosts. I have called for you, but you've turned from me, saith the Lord. But even this day, saith the Spirit of God, I call for you. I call for you again and again this day. Come to me now. Come to me now. For the Lord, your Lord of glory, thus saith the Spirit of the Lord, shall come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The Lord shall come, and he shall not tarry, saith the Lord. Be ready, saith the Lord. Come now. Prepare your hearts. Be ready, for the Lord your God does surely come, saith the Lord. Hey God, he's in this house. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Hallelujah. Oh Jesus, are you ready? Wake up, he's coming. The Spirit of God has given altar invitation. I want to know how many people, young people in this house, say, Brother Tom, I'm going to be ready when it comes. I've been sleeping spiritually, but today I'm going to be ready when he comes. I've heard his call. I want you simply to stand up in your seats and come down to this altar area. Would you come right now? All over this place, the Lord is calling. We have about 15 minutes or more. Come to this altar if he's calling you today to be ready. Establish your hearts. He standeth at the door. He's ready to come. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, young people. Feel these altars and cry out to God until he strengthens you as the last bastion of hope. Come on. Till he strengthens you with resolve, with boldness. Let us say, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by.